Yeah, speaking of Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, you kind of teased it.
I did tease it.
You said his name and then you turn off the mic. Yeah. I don't know if that counts. It's
unorthodox.
Very.
Did it make you want to know how I was going to finish the sentence?
Kind of made me mad, to be honest. Like, it's not normally what you do.
Why do I have to do things that I normally do?
You don't.
Maybe I turned over a new leaf.
Yeah.
I'm now married and I've been to Jamaica. Like, maybe I'm a changed man.
Perhaps. You do have some hackneyed two-word accent that you've been trotting out.
Changed man.
That's right. He's a changed man.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, man.
Good God.
I ordered a drink out there called the Big Mac. Big Mac.
Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion on a sesame seed bun?
No, actually, the first ingredient is bourbon. Bourbon.
I just,
now, wait a minute. What do you got against bourbon?
A lot.
Why?
It's just not my my thing.
That's fine.
You don't need
to give it the gas face.
Prefer the clear liquors.
Okay, that's fine.
Like new vodka.
New vodka, yes.
If you'd let me vamp on it, maybe I get a piece of the deal down the road.
Probably not.
I don't think so, although the cucumber does sound refreshing and appetizing.
Listen, we had plenty of...
I'm liking it early, Mark. Thank you. I'm liking it early. A clear liquor's though for me. Like even when it goes when I go to the tequila, I prefer the blancos as opposed to the colored light brown tequilas.
That's racist.
There you go, Austin and San Jose. Thank you. Great. Join the list.
So what else is in the Big Mac?
I don't even remember, brother. I was drunk. Like it was red. And, you know, it was fruity. It was an island drink. Like, our favorite bartender, Terry Ann, she, like, you got one of those little menus sitting on the bar. And I'm like, hey, what's fun here? You know, because I'm already, like three vodka cranberries in. And I'm like, I need a taste of something else. What's good here? And she started telling me about a couple of the drinks that were her favorites. And one of them was the Big Mac. And if you ordered it, she'd yell it twice. And I really liked that. I enjoyed that. She'd go, Big Mac, Big Mac. And then everybody would go, Big Mac. And they'd make a Big Mac. And then I would drink it and get happy. It was red. There was things in it. But bourbon. There was bourbon.
Yeah. Something maybe either cranberry or grenadine.
No grenadine. No. Yeah. I'm not five. We're not doing...
Let me get a stiff Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple. There were no cherries in it. But I try to look it up because I don't know if it was just this resort's thing or if it's a thing. Like, look up Jamaica Big Mac drink and then say it twice. Big Mac, Big Mac.
Okay.
Yeah, do that.
Never been a big bourbon guy, that's all.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, it's a little bit like gasolina going down.
Gasolina. Here, Jamaica Big Mac drink recipe. I don't know. That's what happened.
Okay.
That's what happened.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You said it twice. So there you have it.
But anyway, back to speaking of Jonathan Kuminga, Mark Stein, who was on this show 2 weeks ago, might have been actually the last guest we had before I blew this popcorn stand. Mark Stein came on. And we love Mark Stein. Mark Stein is as tapped in of an NBA reporter who's out there, in my mind. And he had a report yesterday that I think has kind of gotten pushed under the covers because I think it's a pretty big freaking deal. He reported that a contract offer is on the table from the Warriors to Jonathan Kuminga, and he's got numbers. Now, I don't know if it's 100% accurate. I got no reason to doubt him. But I find it very interesting because we've all been talking about this guy and this situation for so long, and we've been guessing the entire time. How many times on this radio station have you heard someone be like, now, if the Warriors were to do 3 years and 65, or on the other end of the spectrum, like, is he going to just be stuck with the qualifying offer of 7.9? This actually defines it. He says the Warriors have offered Jonathan Kuminga 2 years and $40 million. And for me, that changes my opinion of this situation, this holdout, or this staring contest.
Right.
It's not a holdout.
Nope.
If that's on the table, as much as you could sell me on how life's not fair in restricted free agency right now, that is, all things considered, the situation, the team, the market, all things considered, that is a very fair offer. That is a very fair offer, and if Jonathan does not want to take that, I would question what it is that Jonathan thinks is going to happen next that's going to be better than that.
I would say he would channel his inner William Wallace, which would be freedom. If it's 2 years and 40 and it's a two-year deal where it's not a player option for year two, it's yep. just the team has you for 2 years and you really, really, really don't want to be here, then I could see where you might feel less enthused about $40 million for 2 years as opposed to 1 year and 7.9, bet on yourself, and then you do have that William Wallace. Oh. You've got the freedom. That's all I can think
that's
of because...
expensive risk.
Potentially.
That's a $32 million risk.
In theory, but think about it from the other side. You play on the qualifying offer, yeah. and you do what you do. You got the ha-ha. You cook when you are allowed to cook with an apron, and then you're a free agent, and you go elsewhere when teams have more money, and... could you then get, over the course of the next, not 1 year, you may yeah. not get 1 year in 32,
look at it as
which would be a break even.
Three or 4 years after
yeah,
that.
Can you then go out and get 4 years and $100 million in an immediate deal in a place of your choosing? If you believe you can do that, that would be the only reason why I would look at the situation and think you might want to pass.
You could. That could happen. But again, what I'm thinking about, as we all are, is this is a risk-reward conversation. And what I would argue is it could go that way, but for it to go that way, once again, you have to be a warrior for a year. You have to be a warrior.
And they have to play you.
And they have to play you.
Yeah.
And then you have to put up those numbers, which, by the way, I would argue is highly unlikely.
I think it's more likely than you believe based on the fact you've got old guys on your team okay, and you're going to need young people to play.
You're banking on injury, pretty much. You're banking on Steph or Jimmy or both getting somewhat significant injuries, and you may say that
that's... not even that significant. I mean, none of them will play more than 70 games, I would bet.
Okay, that's fine, but that gives you a very small window of games where you need to go up and again, not just put up numbers, but you need to make other teams believe that you are that guy. And I would argue that a two-year $40 million deal, A, is $32 million richer, guaranteed. B, it increases the likelihood of a trade. I'd argue if you want out, you're going to get out quicker by signing this deal. Because I think the likelihood of you being traded in January is way better than if you sign that qualifying offer where you end up with effectively a no-trade clause and you're not making a number that even makes you tradable. Like, it's clearly a deal that suggests the Warriors are going to kick the can down the road. They've got your services, but they're going to keep trying to trade you, and they're going to trade you at a number that makes much more sense for them. And you get $32 million extra dollars for your time.
Perhaps it's 32. I mean, you're assuming that in year two of his qualifying offer, then free agency, that he would make nothing? And let's just say he's able to go out and make $20 million in that next contract elsewhere, now you're only giving up $12 million,
right.
which is still $12 million, but you would figure you could go out and get a longer-term deal somewhere, and also you would then be able to control your own destiny. If you sign a two-year $40 million deal with the Warriors, you're basically saying, trade me wherever the heck you want, and I don't know if he wants to give up that power.
Well, I would say that nobody's going to acquire Jonathan if they're not excited to have him and have him play a lot more, number one. But number two, we're still talking about a two-year deal. You're back to free agency by age 25.
That's right.
I mean, here's the other thing, and this is, I'm not even saying that you're wrong because I don't know what the hell I would do. I just know that everyone I hear in NBA circles is like, the qualifying offer is not something he's going to do. He does not want to do that. And no one ever wants to do that. Like, I don't know. Nobody does that. Nobody chooses that option.
It happened, and we had the example when you were gone.
It's so rare,
though. Was it Ben Gordon, Lucas, the guy who played on the qualifying offer and went out and actually got a big contract after that? But it's like a less than 1 in 10 proposition. Right. Like, historically, it usually doesn't happen.
And we've been told in this specific thing that he has no interest in doing that. So, like, I hear everything that you're saying, and I understand the thought process, but if we go under the idea that, no, he does not want to do that, okay, then take that off the table, and then the Warriors put 2-40 in front of you, I would ask Jonathan, dude, what the hell do you think's going to happen next if you don't sign that? And again, so he doesn't want to do the qualifying. He doesn't want to do 2-40 with the Warriors. What is it you think's going to happen? You think you can get him to get to 50? Do you think that these other teams are going to suddenly up their offer to the Warriors as we get later into the summer? I just don't think those things are going to happen. So, like, that's a pretty fair deal considering other reports that, for instance, Cam Thomas, restricted free agent right now with Brooklyn, is being offered 14 a year for a 2-year deal. Like, I don't know, man. We've had a lot of conversations about Kuminga having to accept 15. If the Warriors are offering 40 over 2 years, that's about as flexible as I feel like this is going
to
get.
It's a tough one to resist. No doubt I look at that number, and I would feel in his camp that that's a tough one to resist because, like you said, even if things don't go great the next 2 years, and so far your experience here has not been wonderful,
right?
You would only be 25, and you would have 40 more million in the bank. And after 2 more years, assuming they don't trade you and you're here for 2 more years and you have to play it out, well, at that point, you're 25. You could be a free agent. Maybe the Warriors decide to keep you if Steph and Jimmy and Draymond are all gone. Who knows what happens in 2 years? That's a long time in an NBA lifespan, and also gives you the security of,
exactly,
you know, you're going to the African Cup here in a couple of weeks, and if something were to happen against Cape Verde, or if you eventually go up against another country and something bad happens, you'd be well taken care of. The only thing you're giving up is the ability to control your own destiny, which you have that right now, where you can kind of sit back and...
Do you?
Well, you do in that you can play on the qualifying offer, and then right, you have the right to refuse any trade.
I understood. But again...
But that's, like, about all he has.
Right. Like, I'm sitting here going, who wants to sign up for... I would like... it's something between an ego stroke and a little bit sooner control. But I'll give up $32 million for that.
Well, you're not giving up the full 32.
But you are.
I get your point.
If your leg snaps, you did. You gave up $32 million so that you could have control a little bit earlier. I just think it's a bad bet. If I was his agent, I'd be like, that's a no.
Well, and his agent's already circling back on, we never turned down $30 million, so... I think already.
I don't think they did. I agree with him.
Well, whatever.
The Warriors never made a firm offer to Jonathan.
Whatever the firm offer, the conversations were, whatever happened last offseason, I would bet it was greater than $20 million a year. That's my own gut on where we were last year. And whatever they either turned down or didn't turn down, here we are, and it's late July, and your client is still unsigned.
Yep. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, and David Lombardi will join us in a little bit over 10 minutes after Niners camp today. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like you've already made what is likely, and I want to acknowledge, I don't know, and as you just said, I don't know exactly how those conversations went last year. I have been told that the Warriors and Kuminga, it never got to a firm offer. Nobody ever slid the paper over to Jonathan's side of the table. But were there discussions that were more general about, we're thinking about something in this range? Yeah, maybe, probably.
And he wanted the max.
And were those over 20? Almost assuredly. And as Jonathan's agent, you bet that was not what you wanted to do. You decided, no, let's not do that. Let's wait for restricted free agency. And I would argue that that has turned out to have been a bad bet. So now you get to do it again. Do you want to push chips into the middle of the table again? Do you want to now turn down 2-40 so that you could either do what? Whether it's a qualifying offer, whether his agent is still on the phone with the Suns and the Kings and whoever else to be like, come on, like, up your offer. Like, we'll come sign with you. If you want to do all those things, you can. But you just brought up what I think is a phenomenal thing for people to know. If we are 2 weeks away from him playing basketball at a competitive level in an overseas tournament, dude, as his agent, I'm not letting you go out there and play without something solidified that takes care of money for the rest of your life. And oh, by the way, worst case scenario is that you sign this, we make you a really rich man, you have to deal with that awful tyrant Steve Kerr for 24 more months, and then at the age of 25, you hit the open market.
Yep, once and for all.
Is that that bad? Is that so awful?
2 years is a long time. And when you hit that open market, I'm just going to play the other side of it, okay, and say, if I'm Kuminga and through 4 years, it's been, yeah, when we don't have any other option, you can go cook. But otherwise, we're going to DNP you in the biggest games of the year, and we don't really value you the way you value yourself. And so if I'm Kuminga, yeah, $40 million for 2 years is not nothing, but where's my value going to be if I got two more years under his thumb? Two more years of you're the seventh or eighth man if we allow you to
be? I don't think that's what they want either. Like, I know that this has become...
It's what they've shown.
Well, because it's also, they would argue, what he's shown. Like, on some level, there needs to be a middle ground here. If you want to argue that the Warriors have been stubborn and dismissive of a young player, great, have that argument. I think it's quite obvious that's not what the Warriors want. They don't want to pick someone seventh in the draft, pay him $20 million a year, and then have him watch basketball for 7 months. That's not what they want. They would like Jonathan to accept a little bit of a different role than what Jonathan wants. Well, that means there's got to be some sort of a middle ground, right? Like, Jonathan, you absolutely can thrive. Maybe not in the way right now that you want, but it could set you up even to thrive somewhere else in the future. It can get you on the damn court if, you know, hustle, rebound, pass a little bit more, accept the idea that you're option three or four, as opposed to when you're on the floor wanting to ha-ha and show everybody that you might be an NBA one someday. Again, I get that that's what he wants.
Right, right.
But the Warriors have a seat at this table, and they get to say what they want.
They do.
And so far, there hasn't been, like, these are, both sides have been stubborn here.
Yeah, we're not a month
just,
into it.
Not just Steve. No, I mean for 3 years.
Oh, yeah, for 4 years,
they've
absolutely.
They've both been very stubborn. Jonathan, too.
He's tried, I think, to develop as a player, but the things in the areas where they want him to be better at, he hasn't shown them consistently enough to be better in those areas. And so, yeah, you've reached a bit of an impasse. And so, is it so broken that it can't work? I don't believe so.
I agree with you.
I think that when push comes to shove, and, you know, this offer is one where if you are in the Kuminga camp, you do have to kind of take a step back and say, I mean, this is $20 million a year. And if I was Kuminga's agent, and if this offer was actually one that has been discussed and extended, I would go back to the Warriors and say, you know, we're kind of open to this, but we want the second year to be a player option. That way, if you get to the trade deadline and the Warriors trade Kuminga and Kuminga gets traded to fill in the blank place that he's not happy with, he then has a little bit more of an ability to say, I'm going to opt out of $20 million and be a free agent.
Ooh.
Then. That's what I would, and that would be my counterpoint.
But they'll say no. So now you're saying, let's take the qualifying offer, more than double it, and offer you free agency if you want at the end of next year. The Warriors will say no. Because, again, think about what the Warriors are doing here. And the Warriors are not wrong in doing this. The Golden State Warriors are saying, look, we will try to work with you on some level. We get that your goals right now are not our goals.
Probably not happy.
But we are not letting you go for nothing. And this is big business. And as much as people hate this, you are our
asset. Yeah.
And we are not just letting you fly.
Well, if the thinking is, and I don't think that you're wrong, if I'm on the Kuminga camp and I'm thinking, guys, let's be fair, Mike Dunleavy, can I call you Mike? You guys are, you're
sure,
interested
sure,
in signing us.
Sure, John.
You're going to sign us to this 2-year, $40 million deal because that's a number that is very tradable. So
yes,
we both know that the likelihood of him playing an entire year at Chase Center is less likely than you turning him into something at the deadline. So if you're going to deal my guy anyway, we would like to have the flexibility at the end of that year to have the power to either opt in our new situation or opt the hell out.
And the
out,
Warriors
Mike.
Will probably say that lowers your value by making you a free agent come year's end. We don't want to do that. We want to shop you while you have a year and a half left on your contract. And oh, by the way, are you really going to sit here and say, I'm worried about where you trade me? Because the whole idea has been, I'll go anywhere.
Anywhere where I can cook.
I just want to play.
Right.
I want to be a starter. I want to be somebody's focus. Well, I would think that whoever's going to acquire you, why would they not want that?
Not necessarily.
And so if that's Charlotte or New Orleans, so be it. Well, so be it.
Maybe you don't want to be a Hornets or a Pelicans.
Now, I'm sorry. You're 23 and it's not time to be picky yet.
Well, you can be picky. I'll just play for 7.9 and I'll bet on myself.
Hey, well, I don't think he's going to do that.
I don't think he will either, but he does have that ability.
He does.
And even in a sign and trade, in order for you to sign and trade him, he first has to sign. It's not as easy as, like, hey, Kuminga, you're getting traded here in a sign and trade unless he signs the piece of paper.
Is it your perception that the Kings and Suns and these other teams who have reportedly made an offer, has anybody talked about what that contract would be that he would sign? And my perception is not that it's north of $25 million a year.
No, my perception is it would be in line with what this offer potentially would be.
So sign it.
Or
sign it.
Tell the Warriors, all right, I'll sign it if you can trade me to Sacramento. And I can go be a Kings.
Well, what are the Kings offering us? Well, Dario Saric.
Well, I think that can change. The Kings have things that they need to do.
Yeah.
And we talked about it yesterday. There's still some things that need to be overturned before we get into a real resolution.